This is our number two.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes of the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
Oh, it's a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. Man, it is where I am right now. It is gorgeous and sunny. And during the top of the hour, I went and laid on the sun on my deck, in the sun on my deck. And, oh, I could have dozed off. It was so warm and cozy out there. And that's what's so weird about all this, about the world being turned upside down, about people's economic lives being destroyed, about all the sad stories of the physical health problems. It's like a neutron bomb. Everything looks the same, but nothing is the same. And it's not going to be for a long time economically. After we're through with all of this, we're going to hear from the president. The White House Corona Task Force briefing is scheduled for 2 o'clock this afternoon. We're going to bring that to you live. And then, just to be petty, Jay Inslee has scheduled his press conference for roughly the same time, 2:30 this afternoon. And Chris Rakedahl, the superintendent of public instruction, will be with Jay Inslee. And that's where we should find out if the schools are going to be shut down for the rest of the school year. And again, my prediction, my guess, is that there is almost zero chance that schools are going to reopen before the end of the school year in June. They're just not going to do it. And so, but I believe these kids and parents and caregivers and everybody else, they deserve certainty. And why they have delayed and stretched this out when it's been a virtual certainty for weeks that the schools are not going to reopen, I do not know. These families deserve some certainty, and it just seems ridiculous that they continue to stretch this out. And so we should get some clarity for you, and you will hear it live here on the Dory Monson Show and Cairo FM at 2:30 this afternoon. The governor and superintendent of public instruction, Chris Rakedahl, talking about the future of schools in the medium term in our state. Nicole, how's your weekend? Never get to see you anymore.
I know. My weekend was cool. It was chill. Oh, yeah. And just watched The Good Pull. It's my new show now.
Oh, my wife loves that show.
It's great.
I've made it through 6 of the 7 episodes of Tiger King now.
Ooh, good. Did you hear that they're going to add a bonus episode now?
I just saw that, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to change my name. I'm going to be known as Dory Exotic from now on, I think. just to punch things up.
Okay.
Yeah, just to give things a little bit of a goocher going forward. So that's going to be my new name. Please,
okay.
Please only refer to me. Change all the show imaging to reflect that, would you?
We'll do that. One of my favorite memes, you know how everybody's been on a meme craze lately? There's just memes coming out of everywhere. And
yes.
One of my favorites has been like Joe Exotic's eyebrow ring. I'm over here just barely on.
Jeez. I like his... I like Joe's ex-husband. I like just watching him smile. That's my favorite part of the show. Yeah,
it was real nice to not ever get him new teeth. He has new teeth now. That was probably.
Oh,
yeah. Yep.
Kids, don't do math. That's the thing to learn from Joe Exotic's.
I was surprised that, you know, tigers turned men gay, because neither one of his husbands were gay. Tigers.
Yeah, but I think money or the perception of money, people will do. And, you know, in the case of the first guy, he would do anything just so he could stay hooked up on meth. And so if that meant being gay, then that's what he had to do. And then a tiger got COVID-19, I heard.
Yes, I did too. Of course it was a
tiger. Okay. Your audio's horrible. It's all digitized and flipping out on us. I'm going to stop talking to you now.
Okay,
thanks. All right. That means I should just get right to our fastest 15. And we'll start with, and I've been talking about this a lot lately, we're not seeing real news from our networks. And I truly do not believe it has ever been, or I truly believe it has never been this bad before. And I know that they're all working, you know, they're talking about news Armageddon that is coming financially. And it seems to me to be awfully precious to talk about stuff like that when I'm in the news business, because every industry is facing financial Armageddon in the months to come. And we are no more special or important than any other business. So I've kind of avoided those stories that seem to really be taken off over the weekend. Seem to be too much belly gazing with those. But what I do think is happening is we have all these networks and they're throwing almost all of their resources at coronavirus, but they just don't have any gatekeepers anymore. And we told you before anybody else talked about this, when that guy died from drinking the fish tank cleaner, and I know it's not funny, but it couldn't possibly have been fakier fake news, and it was so obvious, and yet everybody ran with the story. As when Trump first started talking about chloroquine, that was early indications was that it was, as a malaria drug, it was an effective way to treat the symptoms of COVID-19. And shortly after the president talked about that, there was this couple, and they used to have koi fish, and they had aquarium cleaner, and one of the ingredients in the aquarium cleaner was this chloroquine. And so the story was that they both drank the fish tank cleaner. The husband died, the wife survived. And then she talked about how the president never should have said this. Well, the president was talking about taking pharmaceutical chloroquine in, you know, approved forms and dosages, not drinking fish tank cleaner. And that's why you had to be, it was ridiculous to not recognize that this was fake news. Well, now we find out that this woman, the wife who survived, is just a virulently anti-Trump Democratic activist. And we also find out this weekend that not only is she a history of being anti-Trump, but that she has had several violent conflicts involving law enforcement with her husband that led her to seek a divorce from the man. Now, she never told us any of that stuff when she was just saying that the president killed my husband, I miss him.
And from 31, she poisoned him and then took a little bit just to make it look like they both took it.
Right, yeah. And in fact, you were the first one that I heard, Nicole, who said, I guarantee you this woman killed her husband. And
absolutely.
Now, that's the way it's looking. Your audio's much better, by the way. So nice
okay,
job
good.
To you and Sean. Yeah.
Okay.
But,
good.
And everybody ran with the story. CBS was the first, but ABC, NBC, they all picked it up. The newspapers, radio picked it up. And it was just purely, but why? Why were there barriers so low on a story that was so obviously fake? Because it fit the preconceived narrative. It was anti-Trump. And so we'll just push anything out there if it fits that narrative. And that's why so many people are losing complete faith in the news media. Now, I'll give you another example of that from our own network, CBS. You know, they do our news at the top of the hour. But CBS, they posted a online story about a nurse who was just sobbing, and she had to quit her job because she tried to bring her own mask to the hospital and her supervisors wouldn't let her, and she had to choose between her health and her job. And oh, it was so sad to watch in the CBS News produced video.
America is not prepared, and nurses are not being protected.
Then they have some graphics on the screen right here for a few seconds.
I went into work and I was assigned to a COVID patient on an ICU unit that has been converted to a designated COVID unit. None of the nurses are wearing masks, not even surgical masks, in the hallways when they're giving report to each other. I had my own N95 mask. I told my manager, I understand we're short on supplies, but let me protect myself. Let me feel safe. I have family that I have to come home to. And the way things are looking, this isn't going to get any better. America is not prepared. And nurses are not being protected.
Pretty sad. Did they check the background of this woman at all?
Coronavirus! Real! Getting real! Don't worry. Every single person that you'll come into contact with this evening has no coronavirus. And don't worry. The coronavirus only lasts for up to 3 days on uncleansed surfaces. You'll be fine. Don't worry! Coronavirus!
So maybe this is just a crisis actor who wanted a little online fame here.
Mimicking that Cardi B audio we played back when
is that what that is?
Being kind of ridiculous. Yeah. Her eyes in that video are crazy.
Yeah. Yes. And yet the crying nurse story was presented as heartbreaking fact, and maybe it is, but that's somebody who clearly just wants some online fame here. But again, their bar for checking things, and one of the advantages that we have is, you know, as long as I've been doing this show, I get a pretty good sense, and Nicole has a great sense of stories that are just obviously phony. And there's still so many people that they all they care about is, well, will this hurt the president, or will this hurt, you know, whoever their target of their ire is, and they just can't see the phoniness in stories. It's pretty amazing, pretty darn amazing. All right, next up in the fastest 15. So some people, I was talking to Brock Heward yesterday. And by the way, we have such great sponsors on the Dory Monson Show. And, you know, many of them have been with me for, you know, 5, 10, more than 15 years, because my listeners trust my sponsors and my sponsors take great care of my listeners. And especially in times like this, I have never been prouder and more appreciative of my sponsors. And I've talked to a lot of the business owners the last few weeks, just check in with them, because I've genuinely become friends with most of these people, because they, you know, they do take such good care of my listeners and my family. But Brock was telling me one of his great sponsors over on 710 ESPN is Precor Home Fitness. And he said that their sales, since everybody's been cooped up at home and all the gyms are closed, that they're saying, and I'm paraphrasing, but he said they've something like quadrupled in the last month because everybody's getting treadmills and ellipticals and whatever for their home. And I thought, well, that's great for another one of our great Bonneville sponsors. I loved hearing that. But I saw this video over the weekend that I really enjoyed. A woman, her name is Miranda Carfrae, And she is a world champion triathlete, or Ironman triathlete. And they were doing in a virtual triathlon this weekend that she was competing in. And they, you know, I guess, I don't know how you can do a virtual triathlon because that involves swimming. But I could see how you could at least do the running on a treadmill and the bicycling. So anyway, she's competing right in the middle of this triathlon, and she's doing fantastic. Because she's a world champion. And then all of a sudden, her husband just kind of punched up because she was live streaming herself on the bicycle. And her husband, who apparently is also a world champion triathlete, to punch up his wife's video, he grabbed a bunch of her trophies, and he was going to just come and dance around in front of the camera with a bunch of the trophies. He unplugged her bicycle. She was in the lead in this virtual online triathlon. She was in the lead, and as soon as it came unplugged, she's disqualified. And then she posted a little video about what her hubby did to her.
Assuming that if you weigh more, 100% Tim's fault. Yes, isn't it always Tim's fault? Yes, it was Tim's fault. What did he do? Did he unplug the trainer, Rennie? Did he just pull it out of the wall? He unplugged.
Yes, exactly. So he decided to bring my trophies in here for motivation. And when he walked around the back, he kicked out the plug. Oh, what an idiot.
I think he needs to take your cycling shoe off. I think Tim needs to do a shoey.
What an idiot. And he was standing right there. They looked like they were having fun about the whole thing. All right,
that's
next up in the Fast 15. Oh.
No, as soon as we got home, I ordered like a stepper thing, and I ordered a bike, and I ordered like a lift bar. So I believe that the Sega has skyrocketed at home because I couldn't.
You know what?
Doing nothing all the
time. Your audio's horrible again. We can't even understand what you're saying. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'd love to hear you. I'd love to hear more. Okay, just real quick, last thing. Joe Biden, he's cooped up in his basement trying to stay somewhat relevant. And, you know, everybody calls the last great pandemic the Spanish flu of 1918. Poor Joe. He doesn't know what year it was. And the man is just reduced to gibberish every time he posts video.
The case where we cannot let this, we've never allowed any crisis from the Civil War straight through to the pandemic of 17, all the way around 16. We have never, never let our democracy take second fiddle. Way that we can both have a democracy and elections and at the same time correct the public health.
We've never let our democracy sakes second fiddle. It's just the synapses aren't firing. And he's going to be our next breath. He's going to get us through a crisis like this, right? Oh, my gosh. And that is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast Stories, Fastest 15.
If you give us 15 minutes, we'll give you the world. And there are other stories happening besides how COVID-19 is affecting all of our lives. There is one in particular. Hit and run. A mother was with her 12-year-old child in the parking lot at the Fred Meyer in Ballard. This is a couple weeks ago. It's still unsolved. And it is so disturbing. We're going to talk with David Rose, who's been working with Crime Stoppers on that. We'll tell you the latest on that. Coming up right after we check the news, it's the Dory Monson Show. Rolls on. Well, the COVID-19 crisis, both health and economic, have consumed about 98% of all of our news. The rest of the world does go on. And there was a story a couple of weeks ago in Ballard that is just so absolutely heartbreaking. A woman was in the parking lot of the Fred Meyer just to buy some plants for her backyard. She was with her 12-year-old son. It was noon on a Thursday, March 19th. And all of a sudden, a car came out of nowhere, hit this wife and mother right in front of her 12-year-old son, dragged her down the parking lot, and she died. Her son had to watch all of this. Her husband is deeply heartbroken. And the search continues for this hit-and-run driver. And I wanted to bring in my friend David Rose from Q13 News, who is so actively involved with Crime Stoppers and Western Washington's Most Wanted. And I know that he's been tracking the story. David, good to talk to you again, my friend. Sorry it's under such a dark cloud of a story.
Yeah, I missed you, I'm glad that everything's going well for you, and you came back, but then you're still working from home. I'm certainly glad to hear you on the radio. It's been great.
When are you going to start doing that, David? Just go the Chris Cuomo route and do the newscast from your basement.
Well, so I'm set up, so if all really goes down, because there's only like two of us left in the station, right? So at nighttime, there's me, there's Aliana, there's Jamie, and there's Brian, and none of us are really next to each other. And then there's like one producer. They've done a great job clearing out the station so that we're not even, close to each other. But I do have a setup. It doesn't look very good yet, but I have a setup. So if I have to work from home, I can. But it just works a lot easier to be able to access everything to have somebody in the studio right now.
Yeah, no, I understand. Hey, who's cutting your hair during all this? You look like you're still making the trip.
I got a haircut, believe it or not, right before the stay-at-home order, like the day before I got that. I got lucky. I don't know what people are going to do or look like that, in a month. I think a lot of people have had discussions within their houses. How do you manage that? But people are making do. It's important. We got to get through this.
I'm starting to look like Charles Manson here with my hair. It's horrible. It's
awful.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the last names are similar now that I think about it.
Yeah, a little bit, but hopefully that's all of you have in common with him.
Yes, I don't have any. I don't have any forehead tattoos. Yeah. Okay.
You do have pretty passionate followers, I would say. So, but maybe not. I bet.
that's quite the analogy. All right. On a much, much more serious note here, David, tell my listeners what you know about this hit and run in Ballard, because they got to find this
terrible
person.
Any other? If we weren't in the middle of coronavirus, this would be a lead story, on every station. I mean, what happened to this mom in front of her son? You detailed it as just horrendous, but there is hope that they can solve the case. They're really pushing to find this the driver who was driving the stolen 2004 Toyota Tacoma. It's like a gold beige color. What happened was the hit and run happened on the 19th. And if you've been to that Ballard, Fred Meyer, she was in the garden center. And she was parked like right in front of the garden center. I mean, there's a million people around there, And she comes out, and this driver hits her. Her son was over, as I understand it, on the side of the car by the passenger door. She was putting stuff in the back. She had just been working in the backyard and thought she needed some plants, and she'd gone there a long time. She's from Madison Park. And then never in a million years thought something like this could happen. I asked her brother, David Link, I said, did she ever worry about anything? He said, no, she was never concerned about it. She was just such a positive person. But the truck that hit her was found 3 days later on the 22nd, torched in Burien. So clearly the people trying to destroy the evidence, that might tie back to them. So we made a Crime Stoppers flyer that the family has been out and friends have been out putting up. Because they think the suspects are from Tukwila and Burien, then White Center and South Seattle, those areas.
No, why is that? Why have they homed in on those areas is where the suspect is likely from?
Yeah, so the truck was stolen from Georgetown, but there have been some sightings of it, and it was dumped in Burien. So they had some information that somehow this truck was moving around. It was a stolen truck, so I don't know if it was used in other crimes. There are some things that detectives have not released on the case because they don't want to tip off the suspects. There were two people in the car, we do know that, in the truck, and it had been stolen in late February. And then this happened on March 19th. So there was a period of time where that gold Toyota was being, you know, driven around, probably used in other crimes. And they're really focused on those areas, asking for people that have surveillance video or saw who was in that stolen truck or knows who it was to come forward. And the family's thrown a bunch of money behind it also. So we've got a big reward on this one, $11,000 right now.
I tell you what, I've had some people who know the family have contacted me, David, and every story is the same. This is a couple that was so in love, and this was, you know, the great parents to this 12-year-old kid. And I'm just trying to imagine. I've talked about this a lot. I'm surrounded by people I love. You know, I've got a bunch of family at the house with me during the stay-at-home order. Every day I think about people who are home alone during all of this. It breaks my heart. And then I think about trying to deal with grief at the micro level when we're going through this unprecedented event at the macro level. And, I mean, talk about something that tests a human being, what her husband and kid have to be going through right now.
Well, he is getting therapy every day, and his dad is by his side 24/7 right now. I can't think of anything worse than seeing your mom taken from you, you know, violently like that at 12 years old. I used to worry when I was a kid, Dory, about his age that I'd lose my mom, and I would cry myself to sleep sometimes. And my mom would come in and say, "What's wrong with you?" And I'd say, I think you're going to die. And I had this great fear of that. So I just have this strong compassion for this kid. And unfortunately, I never went through anything like that. But I just have this, I feel this strong bond for what this kid's going through. I just want to do everything we can. So I've just been getting it on the air as much as I can. I've been putting it on every week on Washington's Most Wanted. I'm going to put it on again this weekend, trying to get, you know, somebody that knows who was driving the stolen truck to come forward, even for their own selfish reasons, because they want the money. I don't care what the reason is, but we need to get justice for this little boy.
Jeez, you just gave me goosebumps when you talked about your fear of losing your mom. When I was around the same age, I was home alone almost every night. I didn't have a dad, and my mom would go play bingo. And I'd sit in this one room where I could see headlights flash in a house window for cars that were coming down the street before turning up my dead-end street. And I'd sit and I'd watch and I would just pray that it was my mom coming home. And I was always afraid that I was going to lose my mom. Yeah, so when you described it on, you know, that personal level, it just gave me chills.
Yeah, it's just it, you know, you could feel the hurt and how much this is going to affect him for the rest of his life and what he's going through. And you got this great family, right, Dory? She was one of five kids, great family, all within like a year of each other. And then you've got the people who did this, who are just, there's no redemption for them. I like to believe there's redemption for people, but if you do something like this and you continue to be on the run, there's just something soulless about you. And I don't know if it's the meth or what's taken away their humanity, but I would have a hard time forgiving these people. They have just shown no remorse whatsoever, especially by destroying the evidence, you know, trying to get away with it.
I really appreciate how you've continued to shine a story on it. And again, if you have any idea who's driving that stolen 2004, it was Toyota Tacoma pickup, kind of a gold collar. They're driving it around the South End communities in the last part of February and the first few weeks of March. Where should they go with tips, David?
Yeah, I mean, people are sitting at home. Go through your video and see if you have that truck. See if you haven't. You could get that $11,000. And if you do, call 1-800-222-TIPS, or Crime Stoppers has p3tips.com. It's all anonymous, and you can even upload video information through the website or through the app that you could download for free to your cell phone, p3tips. It's easy to find in the App Store or the Google Play thing. So pretty easy to get the tips to detectives, and you don't have to put yourself at risk.
Thank you, David, for continuing to shine a light on the story. It's great.
Well, you bet, Dory. Thanks for all you're doing, man. We count on you being there for us every day, and love listening to you, and I appreciate your listeners. I hope they can help solve this case. I sure do.
Thank you, brother. I do as well. All right, David Rose, Q13 News. You got any thoughts, you can text me at 98973. That's 98973, and we have lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show.
Hey, I hope my audio quality hasn't changed at all. My connection to the radio station on my broadcast line just burped on us, so I'm connected by phone here. Now, I will tell you that coming up in 10 minutes, if they are on schedule, the White House Coronavirus Task Force briefing, Daily Edition, is scheduled to go, and we will bring that to you live. I'm hoping they are on time because, again, at 2:30 this afternoon, we're going to take you live to Olympia, where Jay Inslee and Superintendent of Public Instruction Chris Rakedahl have a press conference, and I know how horribly important that one is to all the parents who are listening, to all the school kids who are listening, because it is expected. Well, it's expected by me. I don't want to impose too much on them, but I don't think the schools are going to reopen before the end of the school year. And as I've said many, many times, I have no idea why they have dragged this out for so long. And, you know, I mean, right now the official order is that the schools could reopen on Monday, April 27th. So what would that be, three weeks from today? Is that right? Okay, yeah. So there's no way that they're going to put 1,000 kids tacked together in the same building when there's still so much not known about, you know, if we're on the downside of the first wave, but if a second wave could come. And then the other thing that the governor has to start addressing, and while I'm encouraged, like everybody else, with the numbers that we're seeing, there's some indications we might be on the downward slope in King County, at least, in our state. But who knows if things could get ugly in Spokane and Vancouver and some of the other more populous areas, the Tri-Cities, Yakima, of our state. And so that's why we need to hear what the plan is to get back to work economically. And if we've turned the corner on COVID-19 in any way, then we can't say we got to wait till the bitter end and see the economy get further destroyed. What we're going to have to do is have some kind of interim plan where we're going to protect the most vulnerable. We're going to get masks on people who want to go back to work. You know, Boeing has now indefinitely extended. Boeing kind of bizarrely said they were going to get back to work this week. And then they quickly said, no, we're indefinitely extending our stay at home. But the workers at Boeing, they're running out of money because Boeing has told them that they would pay them through now. But now, if they are not working, they're going to have to use a combination of sick leave or any other PTO, vacation days, whatever, so they can keep collecting a paycheck. And then when that runs out, then they got to go on unemployment like hundreds of thousands of other people in, I mean, 185,000 in our state as of a week ago. But we're talking about millions nationwide who are out of work. And so we gotta have a plan, and that's what the governor needs to announce today, along with the announcement that the schools are going to be reopened when? My prediction, not this school year. We'll carry both the presidents, scheduled to start at 2. We'll carry Jay Inslee and Chris Rakedahl, scheduled to start at 2:30. We will always bring these to you commercial-free here on 97.3 Cairo FM. We'll check the news for you here at the top of the hour. We'll go to the press conferences as soon as either one happens. And we will roll on. I'm going to get back on a broadcast line here on the Dory Monson Show.